Lord God, we ask that whatever you would want to make happen in this period of time would be empowered by your Spirit, that it would touch us in the places that we need to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been doing this sermon series called The Petri Dish, where we are talking about what it means for Third Way to foster a kingdom culture. And we've been going through each of our covenant commitments to say that each one of these can help us in creating that culture in which we're trying to experience God's kingdom within our own community. And so today, what I'm going to just do is start with reading some scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hopes we profess, for he who promised is faithful." That's God. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So, growing up, I went to a pretty big church. It was over 1,000 at least on a weekend. And you could easily walk in, experience a church service, and walk out, and probably no one would know who you were, unless you may have what I was doing. They wouldn't know maybe how I was living my life. And I'm thinking that a good amount of you guys have had similar experiences in church life, just kind of going in and going out in terms of a Sunday gathering and feeling like you experience some sort of a show or you experience something happening to you, but maybe the people there didn't actually know you or know what was going on in your life. It wasn't until I got into a situation where church got more intimate, where I had to deal with people knowing me and knowing what my life was like. And I remember one time when Brooke challenged me on something, and she, you know, we had a good 1 hour duking it out conversation where she was challenging the way that I was living out my faith and the way that it was affecting other people's lives. And I remember one part in the middle of it, she said, "I'm not afraid to do this because we're covenanted together. I'm always going to be your sister." So we could just duke it out and be open and honest with how we are feeling without feeling like the relationship is just going to crumble. So today, what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, is why don't you put it up right there right now? The next, oh no, there's a quote, never mind. Go to the third one. Yeah, I'm talking about covenant life. And that's a commitment that we just heard be made. And it says this: "As community members, we invite one another to lovingly challenge and encourage us to remain faithful to our covenant and to Jesus' kingdom way of life." And what we see in the Hebrews text that we just read was this call for one another to encourage our faith. But when we think about the context there, it's a small little house church. When the author of Hebrews is envisioning this, he's not picturing large stadiums of people. He's picturing groups of people that actually know one another. And we can go back to that other slide that we skipped. So John Eldridge, in his Walking the Dead, says this. Waking the Dead, sorry. The Walking Dead. He says this: going to church with hundreds of other people to sit and hear a sermon doesn't ask much of you. It certainly will never expose you. That's why most folks prefer it, because community will. It will reveal where you have yet to become holy, right at the very moment you are so keenly aware of how they have yet to become holy. It will bring you close, and you will be seen, and you will be known. And therein lies the power, and therein lies the danger. And so there's two pieces of this, that we love it, and we also hate it at the same time. We hate when people know our stuff, but we also desire so deeply for people to know us deeply and to know our stuff. And this topic that we're talking about with covenant life and keeping each other accountable to this covenant life, it's related to what we covered already in submission. Terry talked about it, and it's one. You have to have this willingness to submit one to another, to say, I am not Lord, and have an openness to hear one another out. And there's also a piece of submission here that we are saying, Jesus is Lord, and no matter what this other person thinks of me, what really matters is what Jesus is thinking. And so, when you are someone that feels like God is calling you to offer some sort of accountability to someone else, what matters most is what God is thinking in the situation. So as you're discerning the situation, you want to be asking, what is Jesus thinking? And of course, you want to approach that topic and that person with love and humility and all these kind of things. But what oftentimes stops us is that we think about, what is this person going to think of me? And that will oftentimes drive the way that we live. What does this person think of me? And that will oftentimes pull us back from actually practicing this. But what's interesting is that offering accountability to one another, offering challenge, offering encouragement, all of these things are gifts to the people that we offer it to, especially if we do it in love. You know, we've all experienced when people do it in a really nasty way, but that's not what we're talking about here. And I don't have tons and tons of time to teach on the best way to offer accountability, but right now what I just want to do is talk about how it can be a mercy, it can be a gift to offer it, and that our lordship is ultimately to Christ. And so when someone we're submitting ourselves ultimately to the lordship of Christ. So when someone even gives some sort of accountability to us, our goal is not to think, to discern what they think about us, but to let that piece of information, that encouragement, that challenge, to be brought to our Lord and say, what do you think about this? Is there something here? Do you need me to hear something? And that can offer us a gift of transformation in our own life, a directional change that could be drastically life-changing for the better. So, I need to get going. Okay, so what does this mean for us? It means that as a community that truly cherishes the things that we value and cherishes one another, we are going to be a people. We commit to being a people. The culture that we create is the culture of encouraging faith encouraging the way of Christ in one another. And when we don't see that, we lovingly help people along. We don't do faith alone. We don't do this alone. We need one another. And if you notice some things, I don't have eyes in the back of my head. So when my hair is all messed up in the back, I need you guys to kind of tell me that. In the same way, there's a lot of stuff, blind spots that I have in my own life that I need you guys to voice what's going on in order for me to actually grow, and vice versa. So we're going to move into a time of communion, actually, and embody this teaching a bit. Could I have my communion helper people come and get in their positions?